Good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Happy Friday.
Whoops. Hang on.
What did you just say?
I said happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday, yes. My decided to have a different idea about how to do this, so I didn't hear you. I apologize. Yes, happy Friday.
Well,
our assignment, we have three assignments before we get together again.
I know. Well, yesterday was one of my favorites. The most wasted of all days is one without laughter. There are lots of ways to waste today, and all of them involve giving attention to egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. That ego survival system is notoriously lacking in a sense of humor. It dreads and avoids situations in which it might be the butt of a joke, all the while being utterly absurd. As we realize ego only ever fears what will remove it from the center of attention, we begin to see how often the voices of conditioning direct us in ways that make us absurd, or at least silly. To give up this one and only precious life, to serve a cruel master that takes everything and gives nothing, is truly foolish. Today, practice being a fool for life and see the absurdity of ego as it attempts to make your life small and frightened. Record and listen.
All right.
Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob from Minnesota.
Hey, Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Hi, and I'm a slight bit out of breath because I star-sicked myself, and then I went, oh, I'm a couple minutes away from a quiet place. So
you jog to the quiet?
Exactly.
Very good.
Well, I am really grateful for this practice and for this daily support, and am feeling super lucky and happy to be talking about this particular assignment because it's very dear to my heart. And I want to talk about what I saw yesterday about laughter and relaxation. And then relaxation and the light room. Because as I was observing things, I really started to see more and more clearly that, in a sense, you know, muscular tension is the dark room and relaxation is the light room, in my experience.
Yes. We can see that in ourselves, and we can see that in one another, right? That
yes.
Ego is held in the body, and that's why it so violently resists the person doing anything that will alter the configuration of the way it's holding a person.
Yes.
When people start doing yoga, or they do get massages, or whatever kind of, and all of this stuff starts being available to be seen because it's no longer held that way in the body. So, just to underline that, that's a profound insight.
Yeah, and I love that word holding too, because it's both sort of practically that grabbing feeling in the muscles. But it's also, to me, there's sort of often dramatic things to observe as we're in awareness. And then there's this subtler level of things, just sort of waking up in the morning and looking out at the day to come and going, yeah. You know, it's not terrible, but it sort of has a little tinge of ickiness. And I've been really practicing a lot with, like, getting rid of that too, and conditioning will go, well, you can get rid of the big stuff, but you have to hang on to that little ickiness, you know, and just going, no, you know, even this can be released and relaxed.
Well, and it's so clear when we start looking at it that the only way that kind of thing can stay in place is if we're not looking at it. So yes. You wake up in the morning, and there's a review of the day to come, which nobody knows, actually, that is the day to come. And then there's, and we're not present enough to say, what does that mean? What do you mean by that? How am I to interpret that? Are you saying that I shouldn't enjoy my life? That I should be here for this, that I should be doing something else? Because if so, I'm open to that possibility. But in the meantime, here I am. This is my life. I choose to be here for it. I choose to be awake and alert and on conversation with you and into the day to see what happens.
And that it's okay. Like, I think conditioning wants us to be, or in my experience, conditioning wants me to be kind of braced against the day, rather than just relaxed and open to it. And that goes right along with that what you were saying. It's like we don't. The fact is, we haven't a clue what's going to happen. But being relaxed and open is a better way to deal with whatever happens than being tense and talking with conditioning, like you say.
Right, and if we were going to be tensed against something, we would tense against ego.
Yes.
Not against life, right? Because here I am, now I'm really looking around. I'm really listening to life around me. I'm breathing deeply. I smell the smells of whatever. Hopefully there's some fresh air. And I'm really present. I could check in with all of the parts of my body that don't hurt. Everything that's working well this morning, right? And really be here with me in this moment, and all of that stuff goes away. Rob, this morning I was actually I was doing recording and listening before the call, and saying to the mentor, you know, if I had a wish, of course, the mentor knows that that's not true because that's one wish, and I have so many wishes. But way up on the top of the list would be, I wish everybody would see what it's like to do recording and listening. To have somebody that you can talk to anytime you want to, but especially at the beginning of the day, that you can talk to any identification with those voices and really get here into a place of presence and gratitude and excitement and enthusiasm. Gosh, I wish everybody understood the power of that.
Boy, I couldn't agree more. And yeah, and my little Good Morning Rob playlist that I listen to every morning, I kind of updated and curated that. Generally, I mean, that's what can make those little quenching, grabbing thing, anticipations of the day just evaporate. Just, you know, there you go.
Yeah. It's everything. Whatever the spiritual or religious or whatever orientation, even just a psychological orientation to life, to realize that being relaxed is just a faith-building, trust-building, open-hearted, joyful way to be. And then once we begin to question that, it becomes so obvious that tension, anxiety, worry, all of those kinds of mental processes that put the body into a knot, they're doing nothing but getting us to continue to listen to and believe what the voices are saying.
Absolutely.
That's what's going on, right? That's all that's going on.
Yes.
I wake up, and in fact, there are people who do wake up in a war zone. I'm not one of them. You know, I wake up in a beautiful place. I can look forward to a delicious breakfast. I have my tea. I have my recorder. You know, there's nothing to complain about.
No, and what I've seen just through this observation is that, and I'm really more and more, you know, it is my experience, so I know it rather than trying for it, is that I'm safer the more relaxed I am. If something untoward does happen, you know, and conditioning claims to be protecting you against, you know, bad future events. But the real as close as we can get to protection is just is being relaxed and open and here.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Oh, I love it.
Yay.
It makes me happy. Yay.
Me too. Me too. So yesterday, last thing I'll say is yesterday I renewed one of my favorite vows, which is beings are numberless. I vow to crack them up.
Well, you had one of your first successes.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Sherry.
Rob.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody who's practicing.
Thanks, Rob. Oh, yes, that is such
funny.
Perfection. Yes. Yep. I think that, to look at some of the, we say, cliches or stereotypes or things that we hear often, right, there is a reason why the fool is the highest form of Zen, that laughing, dancing, joking, jolly experience of existence implies there is such a relaxed, non-tense way of being.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you look at Hokai, the happy Buddha, and wonder if he had bones in his body. Jolly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that other thing that we say quite often in practice, right, that anger builds the ego, tears dissolve the ego, and laughter transcends it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I've forgotten that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that is the truth. And ego does, I mean, again, it's one of those things where we hear it, it occurs to us, and then we begin to watch it. And we can watch how much ego hates laughter, joyful laughter. Now, ego loves reality television.
Yeah.
Right? Ego loves seeing people humiliated and frightened and beaten and all of those. There's great enjoyment in that. But genuine, laughing because you look at a baby, it smiles at you, and you just start laughing, right? Because it's so joyful. That kind of ego despises that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Danny checking back in.
Oh, hello, Danny. What's been going on?
How are y'all? Life has been going on. Good life. Good life.
It is a good life, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I found myself talking to a friend yesterday and in the midst of in the morning being quite identified, and we were just talking, and I heard those words come out of my mouth. I said, life is just so amazing, and I stopped and thought, you know, you've been identified all morning, and still that's what's coming out of your mouth. It's really interesting.
Uh-huh. And you meant it.
Oh, that was me talking. I was sitting in the park with the birds and the flowers, and totally.
Yeah,
but I wanted
to
share.
You can see it.
Yeah, yeah. But, I know you know this experience, too, where it's like ego's been, you know, whining all morning, and you're you. You know, you're not that. I loved it.
Yeah, that is so, that there is a beautiful picture of disidentification. You know, ego is going to whine. It's going to complain and grouse and grumble and be no fun at all. But that doesn't have anything to do with me. And increasingly, as I realize that, I'm not giving it any attention, and then it doesn't even have any ability to have an effect on me. It's just this old habit that's fading away.
Well, and that's and that everything that's being talked about, including what you just said and the last caller, is leading so perfectly into what I wanted to share this morning, and it has to do a little bit to build upon yesterday. So, you know, I have been, as I've mentioned, just in this juicy place where I'm, you know, coming out of periods of feeling really identified and having this amazing clarity and really been practicing dropping every single solitary story and just staying present. And I had this amazing breakthrough yesterday. And the reason it follows the last caller well was, lately in my practice I noticed that it is often in the mornings, especially if I'm groggy or overtired or whatever, that I can get, you know, just whacked by insanely intense stories. And that happened yesterday. I woke up and I was worried about, or, you know, conditioning was telling stories and it kind of hooked me and I'm feeling sensations. And I spent a lot of the morning and a lot of the day kind of on the recorder, you know, trying to help myself, support myself through that. And as the evening came near, I got on the recorder before heading over to dinner with a friend. And I asked, you know, Danny, what are you really afraid of? All these fear stories. And the stories had been about, I sometimes get concerned or conditioning will tell a story about that something I have done has harmed someone. Something in the business, my little real estate company, someone's going to be harmed. It's all my fault. And I can get hooked into this. And what I found yesterday as the mentor started talking to me was that I wasn't actually afraid of people being harmed. Of course, I don't want that. But what I was afraid of, and I didn't know any of this until yesterday, what I was afraid of was that I'd be alone, not able to know what to do, that I'd be stuck without understanding how to solve a problem, that I'd be blamed for things. You know, it was really not about the fear. It was about feeling completely abandoned and stuck in a problem. And then I was able to talk myself through that very quickly, saying you're not alone and all the rest. And then it wasn't all lifted, but it was all so different.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. What in that way, again, when we start to see it, in that way that distance helps us with, what conditioning was really making you afraid of without ever saying it is that you would be left alone with it.
Yeah.
I think you would be alone. You wouldn't know what to do, and you would be tortured.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that was the other thing that came out of the recording when I said, what am I really afraid of? In the end, what I ended up saying was, I'm afraid of this experience of ego and its fear nonsense hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had no power because then I was like, well, I can turn that off. This isn't such a problem, even if it was a problem.
Right. I know what to do about that. I have tools. I know how to disidentify.
Yeah.
I know how to get back to center. I know how to talk to the mentor. Okay.
But
I don't need to be afraid.
Yeah, but it was hiding under layers and layers of stories and physical sensations. I mean, it was extraordinary to see it and then also to realize, wow, I hadn't necessarily seen it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was Rick the other day framing something in a way that I found particularly helpful, which is I'm going to sit down and just watch what self-hate does. Watch what self-hate does to me, but we can drop the to me because what we're watching is what self-hate does. And that's the thing that it can't handle because what as you're seeing it, there's nothing behind it. It's these vague feelings of fear and then stories that could have something to do with it, but nothing that is ever really scrutinized or examined or questioned. Meant to I think you hit a windstorm there, Danny.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Is that better?
Way better. Thank you. So when we stop and actually ask for what is this, as you did, well, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of, actually? And we do the process of, okay, well, and then what? Or what does that mean? It just dissolves because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't know anything about the future. And it has nothing. And that's a moment of real freedom and triumph, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It was very empowering. It was this soft, warm, comfortable thing that just over, I mean, the fun thing about it, too, is I went to dinner and my friend and I sat on his roof deck and started looking at funny Chuck Norris videos. Like, Chuck Norris has become this really fun thing that people talk about how tough he is, and they make funny videos. And we laughed. It wasn't even necessarily that funny. We laughed and laughed and laughed, and I thought, my gosh, I've been laughing for the last hour. Something has definitely loosened up here, you know. I mean, it was just cool, you know. It was like,
Yeah,
it was just it was a great realization, and I've been trying to support it and just stay in touch with it. But, yeah, it was cool. And again, it was like I'm also trying to make a bit of an effort to be really careful about those mornings, because I almost feel like I need an hour or two to get physically kind of clicking before I can trust anything that's going on.
Certainly
conditioned mind.
Danny, don't believe it. Don't believe it. You might want to spend an hour or two. You might choose to do that, but it doesn't take that long. It's as long as a quick check-in with what is true. And it may take a while practicing to get to that, but conditioning would love for people to believe it'll take an hour or two in the morning, and I don't have an hour or two, so therefore, but it doesn't. The more we do it, the faster we get back to center. And all we have to do is shift the attention. Whoop, there it is. That fast, you're here. And then, of course, it's continuing to be able to direct the attention so that you can stay here. It's very second by second by second. All right, sir. Well, thank you for that adjustment.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Danny. It's just a process, isn't it, Sherry, that we keep showing up, we keep practicing, we bring awareness to it, and we see and see through what we need to see through to get to the other side, to dissolve that ego.
Yes, yes. And all it takes is, this is what I want. This is what I'm choosing. Now, is ego going to kick up a you-know-what kind of storm the moment you make that commitment? Of course. But the commitment is to stay through until I have what I want. I want to live at center. I want to live a peaceful, joyful, compassionate, participatory, grateful life. Okay. All right. What do I need to do? And life will guide us every step of the way. And, of course, as we talk about, or at least I do endlessly, our recording and listening practice really speeds the journey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my goodness. This is Anya. Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry.
Hello, Anya.
Hi. I just called in. I got on the call late, and I just put myself in the queue, and I thought, oh, for sure I won't get in.
Once again, we just need to, you know, put a line under the fact that conditioning knows squat. Okay? So the voice says, I'm sure I won't get in, and poof, there you are.
Yes, big lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. I've been very much under the influence of ego, centric karmic conditioning, self hate recently. But I've also been paying attention to this show and, you know, listening and trying to stay connected. Ego wants me to totally quit, but the one thing that I could do is participate. And so I've been trying to get myself to get on a call and just, you know, put myself in the queue and trust whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did today.
And I would say you went far beyond trying. You actually did it.
Yeah, I actually did it.
And how is it?
Well, I've always wanted to talk to you, and just ego's always talked me out of it, and so I'm really glad that I got in. It feels good, and I did kind of have a question in my mind. If there's time for a question,
as long as there's laughter involved, I'll do that part. Go ahead.
Well, it's a very stupid, it's a stupid question according to ego, so we'll both laugh together at it. But I hear, you know, you always say, you know, it's ego when you hear you. And I don't hear you. I hear I. Like, you know,
yes.
It's different. And I'm curious what you have to say about that.
Well, when we're identified with ego, it says I.
Oh.
which is why I pointed that out right at the beginning. You're not gonna get on. Called in late. I'm not gonna get on the show.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing. That's the hardest place in practice, really, because that was conditioning talking. That was ego talking. That wasn't you. But it sure seemed like it was you, didn't it?
Of course.
Yeah, it's the place that we do not question. That's why my current, I'm going forward, obsession is encouraging people to question every single thing that appears in their head. Because there isn't an authentic I. Okay? So there is authenticity, and authenticity certainly can speak and does. Often referred to as the still small voice, or you know, we recognize it in intuition and that sort of thing. But when we start expressing ourselves, you know, this is how I feel, this is what I believe, that's ego. And if we believe it, if we buy into it and believe it, of course, then it's, you know, if you were climbing up a cliff, you know, it's just planted another one of those little hammery things in there to pull you along.
Yeah.
That might have been an obscure image that didn't work, but you know what I mean. So it's questioning everything. So when the voice says, oh, well, you know, okay, but I got on late, I'm not going to get on the call. Who said that? Because that's talking about the future. I don't know anything about the future, so where did that come from? Did I actually think that? Did I think that? That's a great place to practice. You know, watch what goes on in your head, and did I think that, or did it just show up there? If it just showed up there, what is it?
Well, it did me a favor because it got me to call, even if it was ego.
No, it didn't. Nope, that's another one. No, it didn't.
Okay.
There was an intuition, a sense to call, and you followed that. That's very different from the voice talking you into calling. And I mean, these are subtle places that we're exploring. But to realize, you know, you're getting ready to walk out the grocery store, and suddenly you remember soap, which was the reason you went to the store in the first place, but got so distracted that you, okay, that's not ego. That gives you that kind of guidance or intuition. Because ego's MO in that case would be to have you forget it until you pull into the driveway and then remind you that you didn't get the dish soap. Life, the intelligence animating us, always has our back, is always there, just guiding us every step. Learning to tell the difference between those two is what awareness practice is all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting to me that I hear the I messages as ego, but they're I messages. Like, you'd think I'd be asleep and wouldn't be able to know that they were ego because it's I talking to me, but somehow I get it anyway.
And very often people will realize that ego is talking to ego. That happens most of the time with anxiety or worry or picturing the future or going back over the past and feeling bad or feeling guilty. That's just ego talking to ego. Sometimes there's somebody in there feeling beaten up by it, but the conversation is between ego and ego.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, Have a good laugh at ego's expense today.
Okay, Sherry. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Anya. Bye bye.
All right. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks,
bye.
Anya. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. It's already 9:29. So how about we look at our assignments for today?
All right.
Few are those who see with their own eyes and feel with their own heart. The difficulty we face is the failure to recognize that what we think of as ourselves is not. The eyes we're seeing with our ego's eyes, what we feel trapped in the grip of an illusion of separation from life, has nothing to do with our heart. Ego is desperate to prevent us from having a direct, authentic experience of life. The fear is understandable. Once we experience life directly, without ego's spin, we will devote ourselves to practicing seeing with our own eyes, the clear eyes of the intelligence that animates, and we will not settle for less than feeling with our own heart. Today, practice bringing attention to this here now, the place of clear-sighted, open-hearted, direct, and authentic experience of life. Record and listen.
Well, that one was for Anya.
That was for Anya. Yes, exactly.
We can all join her, but that was definitely a continuation of that conversation, wasn't it? I love it when it happens like that.
Yes,
all
right. I do too. Yes.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Well,
happy weekend, and everybody, and we'll see you on Monday.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Go happy. Treasure yourself.
Goodbye.